You might like to turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Now, in the process, in the light of the morning, if you can remember that, we'll look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we look to you to help us. It is your pleasure for us to understand and to thankfully think and to think thankfully. And our God, we thank you. So deal with us. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. We all have control and freedom. And in your own home, where you live, you have a certain measure of freedom, don't you? And you can live and go in the refrigerator, do what you want, you have certain freedom. But in that home, there are limitations that you have to go by in the light of the world system that we live in. When you leave your house and go outside the house and go to work, go to home, go to school, whatever you're going to do, whatever you do, you'll find the restrictions are now increased. And what you had at home, freedom, you now don't have out in the street because the world system is coming to bear more so. If you were to go out of state, if you were to go better out of the country, you would find the system that you, world system, is going to have more control over what you are used to doing, saying, and thinking. So, my point is to get you to think a minute that we don't have all the freedom that you think you do. We are governed. We are being governed all the time by the world system, whatever it is, at a given period in history. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God, as we're looking to you, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I should say, A, first thing. Now, the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the ruler who has all authority, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, the devil. The devil's the God of this world. All the systems we shared this morning are under his domain. No matter how you cut the cookie, he's the boss. And he runs them. So you think the king or the queen or the government, whatever it is in whatever country, they're all there. But there is a power over them that is superior to them. Hang on. Now, that power, if it's of the devil, why doesn't it look so bad whenever you see the devil and they portray him? He comes out in a big monster looking at you. Because, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, you know all these things. For such are the apostles, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So, A, all the people up there teaching, influencing, doing what they do, all the different systems out there, wow. But they look good. They aren't really bad. The devil on the little can of whatever it was, I can't think of the Spam, not Spam, but one of them, devil's food can, he doesn't look too bad. Secondly, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed, same verb, into an angel of light. So not dark. We hate darkness and evil, and the world loves darkness. But how's it going to come across? As light. So we aren't going to, unless we're paying attention, we're going to be deceived and tricked. Thirdly, verse 14, verse 15. Therefore, it is of no great thing if his ministers, servants, also be transformed, same verb, as the ministers, servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So we got light and apostles of Christ, angel of light, righteousness. So as we look out, we can't see it as it, if it's really bad, it doesn't seem so bad. And they do good things. They raise and lower the gas prices and everything. Wow, and we have all these things. Doesn't seem so bad. But it's a deception. And you want to know where it's headed, which we have done, and you know. You don't have to turn there, Revelation 13 and verse 16 and thereafter. The power, what's going to happen? The false prophet is going to put the image of the Antichrist in the temple. And when that happens, what's going to happen? Well, all the world is going to have to take note. And if you don't have the mark of the beast, you can't what? You can't buy or you can't sell. You can't, period, without disaster. Wow. But it seems all right. Aha. What is the motivation and the movement? Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Ephesians again. So here's the movement. We're under it. And we share together just to remind ourselves of the awesomeness of it all in Ephesians, picking up, please. In Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1. And we shared together that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he rose, crucified and rose again, he overcame, the world crucified him, the devil crucified him, as it were, the world did, and Christ rose, and he rose up. What did he leave? What did he rise above? And again, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ God when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21, far above principality, that word principality, just think of authority. Someone having authority and power. Kings, rulers, all kinds of different ways, governments, power. He rose above, verse 20, far above all principalities and powers, dynamic abilities, principality, right and might, and dominion, and every name that is also. But also in that which is to come. Every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So, here we are, oh God. So here we're here, but he's there. Now, why do I want to know that? Why did you bother writing that, God? Because, verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So everything and all those principalities, all those rulers, all those demons, Satan himself, the whole system is under him. Now, next statement, verse 23. I gave him, he's the head of the church, the body of Christ, which we're sitting here. We represent that body. And verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So he's sitting there in his perfect resurrected humanity, and he rules the whole ball of wax, everything. And we are, he's the head, and we aren't out here running around, no. We represent him as feet, head, feet, head, feet. Where the head is, the feet is. He's the feet. It's his feet. The believers represent his feet. Hang on. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Go over with me, please, to chapter 3. Ephesians in chapter 3. And picking up, if I may, another statement that will help us. Now, God, we are the feet, and we represent him. He represent whom? The Lord Jesus Christ, who has, he's over every demon, the devil, and all of them. So we'll come to chapter 3, picking up in verse 10, directly in the light of the context, to the intent, to the purpose, that now, under principalities and powers, and each time you read it, it's about the bad guys, the bad guys. Not the good guys. Principalities, they're bad guys. Now, what are we going to do? To the intent that now, under the principalities and powers, in heavenly places, all running around doing what they do, controlling, dominating the world system, might be known by way of the church. The church, it's just his body, where the feet, as it were, on the earth, were the ones that you can see. Christ in heaven, you can't see. The manifold church might be known by the church, by the manifold, many-sided wisdom of God. Now, God, you're going and helping the world understand why you do it. They think it's foolishness, the preaching of the cross. God must be awful stupid to do that. But wrong. God is bringing, humbling the world to see. They professing, think of Romans 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. God's turning the whole thing upside down. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would, to chapter 6. And in chapter 6, may I pick up, please, if I can. In the light of that, in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Got to be strong, that's right. And you got to put on the whole armor of God. You got to dress properly. Why? Verse 11, that you may be able. The word able is the word dunamis, power, dynamite, dynamo, dynamic. The one you're looking at, power. You shall receive power. That's the word. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able, have power, to stand against the wiles, the deceit, the maneuvering, all the different ways the devil works, 1,000 different ways of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So the whole warfare, you can't use 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. You can't use fleshly weapons. You can't shoot them with a gun. You can't go and get them. You can kill people, but you can't kill evil. You can't kill evil. Evil is evil. You can't get it. Not with anything we've got. God is the only one that can take care of evil. And our evil hearts are there in the first place. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, there you are, and powers. So how are we going to fight that which is out of the house, out of the city, out of the country? It's a world system that is way power that exceeds anything in our little brain ahead that we could even consider. Now, God, what are we going to do? God said, listen, in your wrestling against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you got to understand. And again, verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? You make sure you dress properly. That purpose, you may be able, and there's able again for the third time, to be able to have power. Able, power, dynamite. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, because you're going to have to go up against this, and you live in it. And if you don't understand it, you're going to get dominated by it and pushed and shoved as herded into a great movement, which is what's happening. Now, do you see the word, just for the sake of your interest maybe, in verse 13, in the middle of verse 13, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And we don't have to turn there, but in James chapter 4, verse 7, you know it. What did God say? Resist the devil. You can't fight him. You can't punch him in the nose. You can't do that. You can't do it. Won't do any good. Whatever you do. Nope, you can write a book and write 10 books. Won't do any good. Nope. So the word, James 4 and 7. Resist the devil. The word resist is this word that you're looking at. Same word in verse 13, withstand. Resist, withstand. Withstand. Same thing. What am I going to do against the devil? Stand against him. Don't have to move. Don't fight him. Just stand. Why? Because you're able to do so. But the powers are extreme and overwhelming. But you can do it. Why? Because Christ in you. The devil can't touch that. He can't do a thing. You know what? Simple little things, you know. Here's the light, and all the darkness in the world comes rolling in. Big darkness. What's it going to do to the light? And darkness can get very thick and heavy. Like in the valley, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, darkness. Wow. But it can't do anything to the light. The light just what? Stays connected to the power. And it can't do anything. It can throw stones and talk about it, John chapter 1, and do everything you want, but you can't touch the light. Darkness can't do anything. So what are we going to do? Resist the devil. Don't try to fight it. You don't have to. You don't have to do that. He can't do it. What we're going to do is believe and trust God. That's all there is. If you're going to make a big issue, you're going to lose. The minute you stop playing with it, mentally and otherwise, and the world wants you to do that, and to get us to be fearful and then under its control and then to be conformed to where it's going and what it's after. And that's where we are. Now, having said that little bit, God is able. Able in verse 11, able in verse 13, able. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, in verse 16, above all things, above all, taking the shield of faith, you should be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. You're going to be able to do so. Now, how can we do so? Over to chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, keeping in mind. And in Ephesians chapter 3, going to pay a little, get some help here, God. Chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 20. Now, God, now, not next month, not next week, when you read it, it always says now. No matter how you cut a cookie, you can read it midnight tonight, it'll say now. And when you go to get up in the morning, it'll say now. 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 Now what? Now, unto him, God, that is able, there's your little word, able, power, dynamic, dynamo, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. How so? According to what standard is there? What is there that makes this happen? According to the power. There's the little word able again, dynamite, dynamo, that worketh, what's the last two words? In us. That's why. You resist the devil. You don't try to fight. You never win. Never going to do it. And the evil's there, no question, but the evil can't put the darkness, can't put the light out. No, can't do it. Can't do it at all. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, over in, oh, you're picking up to get the idea of that now, over to Romans. And in Romans, if I may, picking up the thought, Romans chapter 15. And in Romans chapter 15, picking up, if I may, and you would recall, before I do that, so you see it, we know, what do we know? The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to go and honor the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, to make all of that work out. All of the wonderful things you read. We've been doing it, and I'll be going back to it pretty quickly here, back to the Gospel of John. And here in all of it, the Spirit of God is he's the one who's going to make all of the wonderful benefits that God the Son made possible on behalf of God the Father. God, the Spirit of God, is going to make all of that wonderful. That's his wonderful ministry, is to make it work. That we're reading. We're reading the Scriptures, and it's his ministry to make it work. Not yours and not mine. I don't make it work. I don't make it real. God does. It's God's word, and God makes it real. Therefore, keeping in mind, here's the Spirit of God, and in the process, we ought to be his witnesses. And without turning there, you know it, in Acts chapter 1, and verse 8, and you shall receive what? Power. There's your little word, dynamite, dynamo. You're going to receive power. For what reason? To be his witness, to represent him as his. He's the head, you're the feet. There you are, as it were, the body, the feet. I say feet because we're on earth. We're the earthbound ones. And here we are looking to God, and God's going to go in his wonderful way, and we're his witnesses, and the Spirit of God's ministry is to give us the power to do that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and you remember, without again turning there, in Ephesians 5 and in verse 19 in that little list, and here's a command, a present tense, quench not the Spirit of God. The word quench is to extinguish, like put a fire extinguisher in. Put the fire out. Do not extinguish the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. God is a consuming fire. And his wonderful work is to overcome and outwork the wonderful will of God for the glory of God. And no one, nothing, anywhere is going to get in the way. But we're in a world, it's overwhelming, absolutely. But you're left in the world to what? To witness who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. You're to witness him. You aren't witnessing you or your family or your job or your talent or something else. No, you're representing his wonderful person. And that's what you do. You go to bed, represent his person, and you go to work and go to school and cook and clean and do everything. That's what you do. You represent him. Of all the different humans, you're a saved human and representing him in a most wonderful way. So now, here we are. Don't quench the Spirit of God. Don't let him do his wonderful work. He wants to do it. Now, having said that, now, chapter 15. And in chapter 15, you will notice, please, in verse 20. 15 and in verse 20, if I may. and you'll see in there. Now, I beseech you, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, because of him. For, not only the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for, by means of for, the love of the Spirit that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So now, the little phrase, the love of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God loves you. Now, God so loved the world. Now, we say Spirit of God, some up there. Yeah, God, he's God. He's God. Spirit of God's God. What's this assignment? To bring forth what? To bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ and his wonderful saving grace. He died for us. He loved us. He died for us. How much did he love us? He loved us and he created us. That's how much he loved us. And here we are. And he died for us so that we could get saved. He loves us. Now the Spirit of God, here we are. He loves you. He loves you. Now you got to think of that. He isn't some genie up there honoring his commander. He's doing what he loves to do, to honor and outwork the wonderful will and word and work of God. That's what he loves to do. He loves to do it. He loves you. He just loves you. Wow. So I need to know that. I need to know that he loves me. So in the process of loving me and looking to God, so therefore, we'll pick that up in a minute. Now, in the light of that, over if you would please, in the light of the Spirit of God's ministry, back over to Ephesians for a moment. And Ephesians is important to us because as we're thinking of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, and remember, Timothy is told to fire up the heart that got is lost, it's cooled down, it's just ashes, a little smoke, and you need to get the fire going in your heart. And he's in danger of backing away because of the enemy and the powers and the darkness and it's overwhelming, to say the least. Jeremiah had to go through that and survive it because of that. Now, so back in Ephesians, this is where he was when Paul wrote a letter before he died in 68 AD. And Timothy was there when Paul was in prison, the first Roman imprisonment. Timothy was with him. He was with him when he wrote Ephesians. Timothy, do you know what this book says? I do. Therefore, Timothy, all these years up to 68 back there, Timothy, so when you're being admonished, quick in the fire, Timothy, you know this. So we're reading what he knew. Ephesians chapter 1. And picking up, please. In Ephesians and in chapter 1, going to verse 4, that'll start us off a little bit. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, before we were ever created, that purpose that we should be holy and without blame before him, and we're going to be able to stand before him in love. What is love? Remember now easily all those different things. Love is what? Love is God. God is love. And when you're being loved by God, God wants you to have the very best. He loves you. So God sees you, wants you to be. He created you, died for you, and has a wonderful plan for your life. And God wants that worked out. He doesn't work out. He isn't waiting for you to get to heaven. He wants it worked out now. He doesn't want it work out in the system. The system hates the whole ball game. So I got to understand that so I don't get caught up. I'm trying to help you not get caught up, because it's there. It's not going away. And it keeps sounding like getting worse. Don't like it. But God, whatever you want, you want us to be loved by you, to have the very best why you created us. And over, while you're here, different, over to Ephesians chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, God's, why? Created in Christ Jesus. So the workman and the workmanship was done before God ever created us. It was all planned, designed, purposed. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. For what reason? For good works. Which good works are to overcome the bad works. Which good works, in verse 10, which God hath before you were ever created, before, ordained, set apart, decreed, set forward, that we should walk in them, that we should enjoy them. Now, only God knows those works. God wants to outwork those works. That's what love is. God is loving you, if you let him, to outwork his what? His will in your life. In power. In power. Not chintzy. No. But not, and like we said this morning, not Superman or something. No. Where do you need the power? To be able to live in the light of darkness and all of the evil and all of the oppression and stay lit, stay alight, stay bright, keep the fire going in the thick and thin of it, when everything's good, when everything's not so good. And you let that happen. And that's power. Power for whatever and however. For what? For God's will to be outworked in your life. Power. That's what it's for. And God has all power. And he's given it to you. You don't have to fool with it, etc. That's why we haven't even done that. 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit, I'm going to do that in a sec, spirit of fear. So here's Ephesians. And in Ephesians, if I can, in chapter 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. So before you ever created, he loved it. He loved to create you. He loved to save you. He loved to do it. The Spirit of God loves to do it. And he's the one that makes it all work. So I need to understand that. The Spirit of God isn't some bad guy going to go and make us do something we don't like or hate. No. He wants his will outworked in your life. Wow. Okay. Chapter 5. And in chapter 5, if I may, picking up in verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So what are we going to do? We're going to walk in love. What? What love? God loves. That's, he wants you to outwork his will. You walk by faith and not by sight. That's what you're doing. And you're going to walk. And God loves us. What's he doing? He's outworking his love plan. That's what he's doing. And the Spirit of God loves to do it. Loves to do it. And in the process, and he's a sweet savor and for us to do it. And that's why it says, you did it the other day, in Romans 12, in verse 1, you have to turn there, all the sacrifices in the Old Testament, all the animals pointing to Christ, to go to the cross the most. What happens on the cross? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son on the cross. That's how much he loves. Wow. Now, in the process of that, giving himself for all of these things, God so loved to do so, to give himself a love So here in Ephesians 5 and 2, we're to present ourselves, Romans 12, 1 and 2, 12, 1 and 2. We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead one. Christ has already died and rose again, and God gave you his life. What are you doing now? What are we doing? John chapter 12, 38, 39, 40, what's that about? The only sign I'm going to give to an unbelieving world is what? My resurrection. Where are you going to show the resurrection? In the whosoever's that get saved. They're going to walk in newness of life. They're going to have my life. That's what I want them, walking up and down, little lights, and the world hates it. Hates it. Wow. Wow. They don't know what to do with it. So now, here we are looking, and God, it's a sweet smell. God, that's what we are. I was going to say, I can't even think of the perfume, so it's just as good. I can't think of it. You're a sweet savor to God. It may stink to the world, but you're sweet to God. That's pretty good, isn't it? When you go to bed tonight, isn't it nice to put your head down and say, God loves me. And God, hang on. Okay, so now, God, here we are looking. Over in Ephesians, one more. I have to keep going. Ephesians chapter 3, one more time. And you will notice, we read it this morning, I'm picking up just to get the magnificence of it. Chapter 3 in the prayer, verse 16. 3 and 16. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, who loves us, in the inner man. That reason, purpose, Christ, may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, that's right, God loves us, he died for us, he saved us, and we believe. And what we believe is it becomes power to us. Verse 18, I may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You live in the middle of it, but you couldn't possibly come to grips with it. And that would be like an illustration, silly maybe, be like in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean out there, being out in the middle of the Atlantic and trying to take your little cup and go and take a little cup and keep dipping again in the ocean and trying to get rid of the ocean. A, you have nowhere to go with it. Your little boat's in trouble. Where are you going to go with it? The ocean is everywhere. Your boat is in the middle of the ocean. You can't get rid of the ocean. You can't even come close to it. All you can do is be in it. God, what are you saying? You're in the middle of my love. Period. And there's nothing you're going to do. Either you're going to enjoy it and exercise it properly and let me do my wonderful work in your life, or you're not. Take your pick. Oh, I'm going to be religious. You can be religious up to your eyeballs. Won't be any good. I mean, what good's it do? What good's it do? Read your Bible for 500 years. That isn't going to make it. No, no. It's when you believe and let God be God. That's why little children can often be way ahead of big adults, because the little children can't possibly read or understand what you could read. But boy, that little child is going to be sensitive if they want. They can. Sensitive to God. And they're going to look out the window and say, thank you, God, for making all those stars. Hmm? Like Adam, like Abraham. Mm-hmm. They're way ahead of us adults. They just believe. And that's all God wanted in the first place, is to have you believe him. Isn't it? When you're all done. You aren't going to take the Bible to heaven. And you aren't going to care about the tribulation in heaven either. God, it's about you. That's right. That's right. Love God with all your heart. Not love the Bible. Love God with all your heart by way of the Bible. Wow. By way of His Word, obedience. Now, so here we are looking, God, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, God, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, 1 John. Over to 1 John, if I may. And do it a little differently, like in the Gospel of John, only here in 95 thereabouts A.D., last living apostle. 1 John chapter 2, picking up, please, if I may, in verse 5, in the light of the context. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily, keeping God's word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. The word of God, the love of God, is going to be perfected, completed, outworked, wanting nothing. The love of God's going to produce. That's right. Hang on. Love of God's going to produce. Over to chapter 2 and 15. Love not the world, the same verb. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world system. And the world passes away, verse 17, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's right. So God, we're going to love you with all our heart. That's what the whole point is. Don't love the world. The world wants you to get caught up and be bound to it. That's what the devil wants. That's what's going to happen in the tribulation. Caught up in bondage. They'll hate it. The world may hate it, but they can't do a thing about it because the devil's in charge and the devil has the power. Wow. So in the light of that, over to chapter 4. In a whole wonderful chapter, as you know, but picking up in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So it's all about a relationship to God, outworking his wonderful plan in your life for his glory and honor. Sliding down, verse 16. And we know, we have known and believe the love that God hath to us, so there's no question. Spirit of God loves us. God is love. Perfect. God, that's God, received him as Savior. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So how are you going to enjoy God's love? Because God is love. And as I want to honor God and look to God and believe God, then he's going to do what he wants in my life. All of that is called love. The love of God being outworked in a person's life in a most wonderful way. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, complete, whole, wanting nothing, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As I am, as my Father sent me, so send I you. You're representing me, little lights in the darkness, little bodies resisting, full of power, full of God's grace and person, and that's what you're doing. So whatever you do, work, home, school, in and out, whatever, all over the place, the rules and regulations are there, but be careful with them and don't get in bondage with them. Don't suffocate yourself with a mask, you know. People doing that. What's going to happen? Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. Because who knows what's going to happen with the next thing because of the mask. Oh, well. Anyway, so now, God, here we are going. Now, and who cares? People don't care. So, as we are in this world, so gone, so gone. We're going to enjoy the trip. That's what we're going to do. I can't help it. The world wants to do what it does. Do it. It's your world, but not mine. I'm saved out of it. So are you. So now God, having said that, as we are, so as he was, so are we. So that's an awesome position, isn't it? It isn't when you sit here. It's when you live your 24-hour-a-day life, 7 days a week. That's what you're doing. You're God's people out there, running them in and hither and yon. And your people, we shared that, the good angels and the bad angels know you anyway. If you're saved, they know you're saved. That's what you want to know. You don't have to prove it to them. They know. They know. They know who they are. They're spiritual. They're sensitive. So here we are, God, looking, and in verse 18, there is no fear in love, for perfect love, perfect, whole, complete, wanting nothing, love, when you're being loved, casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not, N-O-T, made perfect in love. And if you're going to be afraid, you're going to lose out. Because God said, if you understand I love you, what on earth are you afraid of? Why are you afraid if I love you? And I'm protecting you, left, right, up, down, you're in the middle of my love. And they think, absolutely it could happen. There's no question. But that isn't the issue. The issue is, are we representing and looking to God and enjoying the trip through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Is that what we're doing? That's what we need to do. And look to God. And God said, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. If you've got fear, then you aren't enjoying God's love. But I'm afraid. You can't enjoy God's love. No. You got to get rid of that. Let me just give you a little help quickly. Over to Peter. Second Peter. If I can. Second Peter quickly to verse 9. 2 and 9. Would you please note? The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Temptations, testing, trials, troubles, being put to the proof. And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Judgment. Hang on. Punished. Now keep the word punished in your mind. Go back over to 1 John and chapter 4. And in 1 John chapter 4, go back up to verse 18. I'll read it again. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Do you see the word torment? Torment. Punishment is the word. Punishment. Fear has punishment to it. That's what you have in Timothy in a part. We can't go there now. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given you the spirit of fear. That's the word, fear. Cowardness. And when you start backing off and backing away, you're afraid. You're afraid. You're afraid of what? And you may not even know what or how to do it. And you back away and back down and get out there. You aren't enjoying the love of God when you do that. Just not enjoying it. How can you? Perfect love casts out fear. And if you're being loved like that, that's what I'm trying to get you to see. To be loved like that. That's awesome. Wow. Hang on. Let me do it a different way. Time. Romans. We did Romans 15 and reminded ourselves the Spirit of God loves us. Okay, the Spirit of God loves us. That's good. Now what? Romans chapter 5. You know it, but let's put it together afresh. Romans chapter 5, picking up, please, in the light of the context, verse 2. 5 and 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so are we full of expectancy and anticipation, but we glory in tribulation, trial, test, trouble, being put to the proof in all kinds of different ways. But we glory in tribulation, also knowing that being tested, proved, living in this dumb world we live in, worketh for us. What's it do? It works for you patience, bearing up under the load. It's carrying the load, and the load's heavy sometime, it seems, but under the yoke it isn't, but it can seem that way. And in the light of the world system we live in, here we are. And the trials and tests of trouble are there, and we bear up under it. It doesn't go away. Everything doesn't go away. It isn't fixed. You could have physical things that just stay with you. They just stay with you. Could stay with you all your life. Just go through them. You bear them. You don't. You patience, bearing up under, carrying the load. Carry the load. And the load there, the load can change. But you carry it. You carry it. Carry it. You don't put it down. You don't try to run away. You carry it. Verse 4. And patience, bearing up under the load, produces experience, being put to the test, and you prove. Prove God loves you. Prove that you can do it. Prove that you can make it. Prove that it's there. And here we are, most of us, we've gone through being believers a little bit and struggled and been and all kinds of things in our life. And here we are still. And God has been faithful in his faithfulness. And we're still struggling along. And that's what we're doing. And God's doing that. Wow. God. So therefore, verse 4, patience produces experience. Experience. So are we going to trust God tomorrow since we trust him today? Yes, we're going to go trust him tomorrow. What about next week? Well, we're going to work through one day at a time. We shared it, Matthew 6 and 34. Sufficient of the day is the evil. There's enough problems today. Don't try to pick up tomorrow's yet. And so we just take today's things and work through them, walking by faith and not by sight. And as we do so, patience, experience, verse 4, and experience produces a great expectancy. That's why we're going to go to tomorrow. That's why we're going to go. Why are we going to live? We aren't going to die tonight. God may take us. God may come. But if not, we're going to get up and go again. And go again to the same system. It isn't changed. It isn't changed at all. Therefore, verse 5. And hope, this anticipation, expectation, maketh not ashamed. Now, why is that? Because the love of God is shed abroad where? In your heart. Now, how did you survive it all? Because God was there and he was loving you. That's how you did it. No secret, no trick. God just did it. Could you understand it? Ephesians 3, 19. It's past your understanding. So you're not going to sit there and say, I figured it all out. No, you didn't figure anything out. All you did is enjoy the trip, hopefully. You just enjoyed God outworking, and there you are for another day, another night, another problem, another thing, and that's what you're going to do. Wow. Wow. God. And verse 5, hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who loves us, who loves us, which is given unto us. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is a commitment, Jesus Christ, to his body. The Spirit of God's going to do a wonderful thing. Now in closing, over if you would please, to chapter 8. Thank you for your patience too. Don't look at the clock, it's close, but not terribly close. But Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 28. You know it in the light of the context. And we know that A-L-L, that's a tricky word, isn't it? A-L-L. Go look it up when you get home. All things work together for good. They aren't good, but they work together to them that love God. You want God's will for your life? Work out your Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Verse 13, because God worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God's doing it. That's right. Therefore, God, in your wonderful grace, I love what you're doing, God. I don't know how to work out tomorrow. I don't even know how to work out tonight. I'm not going to figure all this out. Oh, God, I just have to work through it nicely and stay relaxed and enjoy the trip looking to you. I'm not going to look at the system. The system's going to rob me of my joy. So therefore, I'm not going to do that. We're together for good, verse 28, to them who are called according to his purpose. And then you're going to go through all the wonderful section, and then you're going to slide over, if I can, to verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We aren't winning the war. We're just representing Christ, who's going to judge the world. We aren't trying to win the war. All we're doing is showing the world the war is about to come to get hot and heavy. And God said, I want you to know, I bore witness that I rose again. I told you to believe. I told you to do it. I warned you. And therefore, God, we're sheep. We aren't being supermen again, going around, we're going to get everybody. No, we aren't supermen. We're just little old sheep. Sheep that can't be killed until God wants them. Can't be touched. Plague, immune system, none of it. None of it. All of that belongs to Almighty God, our Savior. It's his body. Wonderful. Now, so therefore, sheep, verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. How so? Through him that loved us. We love him, all things work together for good. That's what we love. We love God doing it. And then God said, in doing it, you're more than a conqueror, because I'm loving you. You're loving me for it all to work out, and I'm loving you to make it work out. How's that come out? Well, that's what I'm going to do. And, God, I got to finish that, I guess. For 38, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities and powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Power. Power and love. God said, Timothy, God hath not given you the spirit of fear, but of power. God gave it. Power, love, and a sound mind. God gave it. You don't have to find it or hunt for it. When you received him as your Savior, you done got it. Now either you understand it and are learning to how to exercise it, or you're not. If you don't, then sort of you're a stupid believer. That's all right to say that. I'm a believer, but I don't know what I'm doing. Well, we got to pray. Appreciate your patience. Our Father and God, thank you for loving us and caring. God, give us Spirit of God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Help us understand more and more, better and better. God, do whatever it takes to help us get there. God, we do want to get there. We can't speak for anybody else. We just have to draw a circle and stand in it. God, I want to get there. We want to get there. So help us. And we'll thank you very, very much. God, we just need to give you credit and believe. And our Father will thank you in Christ's name. Amen.